In Philippians 1:27, Paul writes these words. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, thanking you for the salvation that we have in him, thanking you for the privilege that we have to be gathered here through this medium, Pal Talk, with those of like precious faith to study your word. And as we do so, Heavenly Father, we pray for listening ears and believing hearts, and we pray when all is said and done, it be to the glory and to the honor of your name and to our edification. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in Philippians 1:27, Paul sets forth, makes a statement here that I think is real key, if we buy into it, that keeps us from complicating the Christian life. I was listening to some of the preaching this morning on television. And as I was listening to them, I was trying to just basically analyze what is it that they are appealing to in people that would be listening to them. And it stood out immediately because this one guy was talking about, you know, seven steps. And I forgot the topic this morning he was talking about, but seven steps to financial freedom and so forth, to teach people about how to have financial freedom. And it got me to thinking that quite often that's what people are looking for. They're looking for for someone to set forth a series of steps or a number of steps that would help them overcome whatever the challenges or obstacles in life for them are. And whether it's their financial area of their life, the marital life, you know, relationship with other people, whatever it is, you know, the appeal is, you know, four steps to this, you know, four steps to receiving the Holy Spirit, 10 steps to speaking in tongues, and all of the, they're looking for something to guide them and to end in the desired results that they are looking for in life. Well, in Philippians 1:27, Paul talks about something that I believe to be the principle of the Christian life. And when I talk about the Christian life, I'm talking about a believer and all the various facets of life, but living that life from the vantage point or from the perspective of being a believer. But life itself is just that, life, with all of its different facets. And that as a believer, however, rather than trying to remember the 12 steps of AAA, that kind of stuff, or, you know, rather than trying to remember all of these different steps that should produce in us a desired result in life that we're looking for, Paul presents to us just the basic principle that if we go hold it and apply it to every facet of our Christian life, it will end in the desired results that we're looking for. It would end in the proper results. Let me say it that way. Not so much what we might desire, but it will end in what is proper for us. The end results would be good for us, but it may not be results in the things of this world. It may not result in the comforts of this world as such. But the benefit of living your life by the rule of the gospel, whatever it is, your marriage, the gospel of Christ is the rule of life. Your fellowship with other saints, the gospel of Christ is the rule of life. Should rule in that relationship. Your finances, the gospel of Christ should rule in that area of your life. Giving, the gospel of Christ should rule in that area of your life. That's what we're talking about here. The principle of the Christian life is the gospel of Christ. And can I say this? When you look at Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. There should be a single standard for your life as a believer. You know what James says? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. There should be just one single standard. You and I, being the body of Christ, we're the church, which is the body of Christ and members in particular. But remember something about that relationship. Christ is our head. That's a single source. That provides for a single standard for all the church, the body of Christ. That's why Paul would charge Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 about charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Because Christ is our head, we're his body. But that is a relationship, that is a relationship between Christ and his body. That there's a relationship there with Christ as our head. And when I talk about this relationship, it is unique and distinct from all the other relationships that God has set forth in his word. I know there are parallel ideas, but they're not identical. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul wasn't the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, Paul was persecuting a church, but it was a kingdom church. And I do not believe the relationship is the same as the relationship that exists between you and I as members of the church, which is the body of Christ. I firmly believe that the church, which is the body of Christ, speaks of an entirely unique and distinctive relationship with Christ as our head, and we're his body. And though there are parallel ideas in terms, again, when Christ says to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? He was not defining the body of Christ relationship. The parallel idea might be there, but I believe the teaching of Christ at our head, we are his body, is a new distinctive truth set forth, beginning with Paul, and set forth by the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 5, for example, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Never did Christ ever describe the relationship he had with the disciples during his earthly ministry this way. He talks about the branches. He talks about the branches not bearing fruit, to cut off the branches and so forth, the branches abiding in him and he abiding in the branches. Parallel ideas, in terms of defining and describing a relationship, but not identical. In Ephesians chapter 5, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, is defining a unique and distinctive relationship that is true only in the dispensation of grace. And he's defining and describing an entity that is unique and distinctive from all the other entities that or agencies that God may have had in time past or in the ages to come. In Ephesians 5, verse 34, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the reason I can say that this church, which is the body of Christ, is a unique and distinctive entity, is based on Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Those verses describe and define for you when the church, the body of Christ, come into being. The church, which is the body of Christ, does not come into being until the fall of Israel. And in the context of God concluding Israel in unbelief along with the Gentiles, God in that setting forms the church, the body of Christ. He reaches down, he saves the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, makes him the apostle to the Gentiles, makes him the apostle to the church, the body of Christ. Paul is given the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is given the dispensation of the grace of God. But he has a unique and distinctive calling to preach to and about the church, which is the body of Christ. But it is an entity that comes into being after the fall of Israel and the sending of salvation to the Gentiles. It's in that setting, it's in that context, that God forms the church, the body of Christ. And it is that entity that is only spoken of as being the body of Christ and Christ being our head. But never is that relationship defined or described that way until you come to Paul. Now, that's why I say what I say with regards to that. And so, when we talk about the standard or the rule of life for you and I as members of the church, which is the body of Christ, it can only be the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. The preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified becomes the standard, becomes the rule of life for you and I. Not the law, not the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of the dispensation of the grace of God, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, same difference. Okay, but the gospel of Christ becomes the rule of life for you and I. And when he says, only let your, it should be the standard, the single one standard as a rule of life. To do so otherwise is to introduce instability to your Christian life and to bring about frustration and confusion in your Christian life. Because the moment you abandon that single standard that gives direction to your every facet of your life, by the way, whatever, you know, you talk about your marriage, you don't have to have a set of different rules to govern and to guide your married life. No, the gospel of Christ is the rule and is sufficient to do that. You don't need a different set of principles and rules to govern your financial life. The gospel of Christ is sufficient to do that. And you need that single standard. Otherwise, to be double-minded about the standard, about the rule of life, is to introduce confusion and frustration to your Christian life. And definitely not having to remember a series of steps, step one, step two, step three, you know, the four rules or the four keys to this and the four keys to that, the gospel of Christ, the single principle. What you need to do and what I need to do and what all believers in the dispensation of grace need to do is to be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Christ. You do that and you have all the keys you will ever need. You have all the keys you will ever need to bring about the desired results or to have the kinds of results that one would deem to be successful and prosperous in things pertaining to God. Okay? Now, a single standard. Christ is our head, provides that single standard. But more importantly, it is to recognize. Now, Paul goes on to say, besides having that single standard, we can standard. But if we do not utilize that standard, it does no good. I remember at Berean Society, I used to be a thing about reading. So those who know how to read that do not read are no better off than those who cannot read. Okay? And is that with the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ is going to be of absolutely no value to you. Not a powerful influence in your life. If you choose not to live your life according to it, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's a choice. That's the purpose of hot issue. You have to choose. You have to be conscious that your Christian life don't work on automatic. I used to say all the time, life would be great if you didn't make decisions. That's where the trouble starts, when you have to decide. But you do have to choose to live your life according to the gospel of Christ. And that choice becomes evident when you follow after being rooted and grounded in the gospel of Christ. And you understand, this is not mental gymnastics. This is not being positive toward the gospel. But this is appropriating the gospel, making use of it, making application of it to the details of your life. And in order to do that, you're going to have to be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Christ. You'll never be able to say what Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You'll never be able to say that because you won't know that without making the conscious choice, the conscious decision, to live your life according to the gospel of Christ. You see, that's where the realization comes in. The realization of the gospel of Christ being the power of God unto salvation comes when you choose to let conversation be your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And it's not a thing where you try. I quite say it's only let your conversation be as it becometh, the gospel of Christ. It's a state of being. It is a state of mind. It is something that is produced in you by faith. The point, though, here about let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And that's a choice, but it's not trying, but it is being. And that being, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. When Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He goes on to say, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so the issue for you and I about being, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The key to that is one, the choice, the purpose, to live our lives according to the gospel of Christ. And we made that decision. You got to remember this. You made that as a conscious choice, a conscious decision when you believe the gospel. The issue for you and I is to follow through. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And for Christ to live his life through you is a conscious choice and a conscious decision to let the gospel of Christ be your standard, to be your rule of life. And when the gospel of Christ is the rule of life, your conversation will be, not try, but will be the life of Christ, the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I trust you get what I'm trying to communicate to you through all of that. But I've said what I purpose to say in the light of Philippians 1:27, and I hope you understand that when you're looking for answers to whatever life presents to you, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, is the standard, is the rule by which you should live. And so you and I, from the time we got saved, should have been majoring in the gospel of grace, to build that edifice of sound doctrine in us so that the life of Christ would manifest itself through us. Philippians 1:27 about the faith of the gospel. You know, I take a very simple approach to trying to understand things like that. And I look at the phrase, and I try to understand just the simple grammatics of the phrase. And that helps me a great deal when I do that. And I would interpret that as being the faith which comes as a result of the gospel which Paul preached. The faith of the gospel. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God, or the preaching.